If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. There's a direct connection that Jesus here makes, very practical, about how to get to know him and how to get to know his Father. This should be somewhat obvious, right, that our actions have consequences in our relationships. But I think for the modern mind, there's often a real disconnect or a divorce between what we see as our actions and our person and how that affects relationships. We sometimes feel like we could just do anything and it's not going to have an effect on us. You often hear the phrase with various things, oh, this isn't going to hurt anybody. Right? So if I'm, let's say, using a particular drug, or maybe I'm drinking too much alcohol, or engaging in some other form of vice, that we might rationalize to ourselves that this isn't going to hurt anyone, right? Because it doesn't necessarily touch or interact with someone explicitly. So we see this disconnect between our actions, our moral actions, and any other relationships. We, of course, in our Christian tradition and in coming from the Jewish faith or the Jewish religion, the Old Covenant, have always understood that there's four fundamental relationships: our relationship with God, our relationship with others, our relationship with ourselves, and our relationship with the rest of creation. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees him nor knows him. There is a direct correlation between our capacity to see and know God and following Jesus' commandments. We also live in a time and a place where we feel that it's okay to follow certain rules and precepts, to believe in certain doctrines when it suits us. There's a relativism in our culture, that is, we believe that things are just kind of my truth and your truth. Of course, that is the case for us as subjective human beings. We perceive reality in a very unique way, which is unique to all of us, but there are objective realities as well that cannot be changed, that if we are Christians, then we believe are revealed by Almighty God or just in the natural law. I was with my nieces and nephews last weekend, actually, and I was leaving my parents' house, which is where they were at, and I've had nieces and nephews for 8 or 9 years at this point. My oldest niece is about 8 and a half, and her little brother Francis, and I don't, in some ways, I hate to give this story about him because I love him so much. He's a great kid. But it was the first time as an uncle that I had felt explicitly disrespected by one of my nieces or nephews. I was about to leave, I just wanted to give them a blessing and say a prayer over them. And Francis had the remote control in his hands, and he had been watching TV for, I don't know, half an hour or something like that. I said, hey, could you just pause it? I'd like to say a prayer with you guys, and I'd like to bless you and say goodbye. He was completely defiant. He wanted no part of that. And of course, this is, I realize this is something that parents go through on a regular basis, okay? But it hurt. It really actually hurt. I couldn't help but thinking about it the entire next day. And I had a conversation with him. And to be fair, the kid is 6 years old, okay? So he was tired. It was the end of the night. And he was midway through something, a very addictive activity, which is watching a screen, right? So I get that. You know, he's a great kid. Usually very obedient, actually. Always listens. But in this instance, he was completely defiant multiple times. He just kept arguing back and forth with me. He wouldn't just pause it. Just pause it. And again, that had ramifications in our relationship. So I talked with him the next day. He kind of remembered. He, you know, 6 years old, and it was fine. I bring this up because our moral actions have ramifications for our relationships. The four relationships I just mentioned. That's not to say, for those who are not Christian, there's this idea that moral actions are about perfecting oneself. That's not really how we see it as Christians. We don't want to be perfectionists with our actions. We see everything as tied into the relational dynamic with God, with ourselves, with others, with the rest of creation. And so when we decide to follow our consciences according to the ways that God has revealed his truths to us, we understand that as a very relational thing. We're beloved sons and daughters of God the Father. We are brothers with the Lord Jesus by virtue of our baptism. This is a very relational thing. And so what we should look at, if we feel a real disconnect from God in our lives right now, if we're really struggling with faith, faith is a gift, a supernatural gift that comes from God by virtue of our baptism. But if we are separated from God by virtue of our moral actions, in which we have explicitly, with our conscience, or gone against our consciences, then that will disrupt our capacity to believe, to see and know God, as Jesus says right here. Those are the verbs he uses, see and know. And so we might want to do an inventory of how we're living our lives. Are there things in our lives that we are going against our consciences, which have been formed by the wisdom and the beauty of the church, where we are habitually defying our consciences and going against something that the church, that Jesus, through the church, has told us will hurt us in our relationship with God? So it's not about perfectionism. We should always be trying. God's always okay with us trying and failing. That's why we have the beautiful sacrament of confession. And in more minor sins, we can just ask God for his mercy at the end of the evening. But to openly defy and be disobedient to God will have ramifications for our faith. It'll distort our vision. It'll hurt our capacity to see, to know, to have friendship and relationship with God. Jesus wants us to have joy. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Lord, we ask you to bless all of us here present. I ask for a particular blessing upon our mothers. Thank you for the great gift of their femininity and their motherhood, which is an expression of your love for us. Please help us to be obedient to you. Help us to not see obedience as shackles or chains, but as a part of your divine plan, which actually brings us joy, because you are a proper authority and you desire what is best for us. Help us, Lord, to have that which is spoken about in the gospel today, the revelation of God to us and the mysteries of God. And help us to see our faith not as a philosophy disconnected from relationship, but as very relational. We ask all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed Virgin Mary, pray for us. And let us take a few moments in silent prayer to just listen to and speak what the Holy Spirit desires to reveal to us.